Today is Maundy Thursday, not Monday Thursday. It is the Thursday in Holy Week and a part of the three holy days before Easter. If you are a native speaker or not, you may not know what Maundy stands for, because its meaning is not self-evident. And because I work in a multilingual context at the University of Fribourg, my colleagues and I often compare how we say things like this in our respective languages. So one of my German-speaking colleagues thought I said Monday, Thursday. Well, Monday actually has nothing to do with Monday. But do other languages help us to understand Monday? In French, Monday, Thursday is Jeudi Saint. In Italian, Giovedì Santo. And in German, it is Grün Donnerstag. None of these help us to understand what Monday means. Well, it comes from a Latin expression, mandatum, meaning commandment. And it is taken from Jesus' words in John 13:34, mandatum novum, new commandment. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Sometimes when I hear these words, these solemn words in John's Gospel, I forget for a moment that Jesus was only 30 years old when he said this to his disciples. He speaks with great authority, and he tells his disciples to do things that most people of his age do not make their central mission in life. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. From these words, we grasp something of the radical nature of Jesus' life and teaching. He doesn't just say, love one another. He sets the bar extremely high, saying, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. That just as I have loved you makes a huge difference, because it zeroes in on what is unique about Jesus' love. Sometimes I like to use my imagination and wonder how the world would be, how it would be different if we could flick a switch and automatically one of the Ten Commandments were put into practice throughout the world. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Or honor your father and your mother. Or you shall not murder. Or you shall not steal. Imagine that. With the flick of a switch, how the world would be transformed by putting into practice a single commandment. Suddenly we see families changed, neighborhoods safer, towns and cities more caring, and nations more generous. And what about the church? What if the church, the universal body of Christ, instantly put into practice, just as I have loved you, you also should love one another? With a flick of the switch, what difference would that make throughout the world? I imagine we would have more compassion for one another and be more generous to one another. We would probably set aside some of our prejudices and biases. As a result, we might also let our guard down and be more open about our own needs, our own struggles, and allow ourselves to be helped. We don't always like to do that, do we? But what does it mean to love as Christ loved his disciples? Many passages in the New Testament help us to fathom the depth of Jesus' love, and not only for the whole world, but for each one of us. In the readings from John's Gospel and from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we are invited to explore how much he loved his disciples. Once more, we see how different, how radical Jesus' life and teaching were, and still are today. If I were 30 years old and I knew it was the last week of my life, I probably would not have chosen to do the things that Jesus said and did. Jesus organizes a meal for his closest friends, knowing that they would betray him and deny him publicly. The meal part was was fairly standard in that it was the Passover meal that Jewish families celebrated together. What is radical is that Jesus stands up before the meal and begins to wash his disciples' feet. Some of us were elementary school teachers, I think, some of us. But even if you weren't, if we were a group of small children, you could imagine the faces and the gasp, and they'd say, "Ooh, washing people's feet. It's disgusting." And Jesus does it. Yes, washing his friends' feet, even those who would betray him. We notice how important this gesture is by the way Jesus reacts to Peter's hesitancy to allow his feet to be washed by his master. Jesus says to him, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Must have been really important, this gesture. This gesture, in fact, will become one of the measures of Jesus' love lived out through his disciples. Jesus says, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you." After this radical gesture, Jesus makes the customary meal very personal, during and after the meal. The meal speaks about him and his disciples. The Apostle Paul reminds his readers how important it was to honor the Lord's Supper. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Here again, Jesus' unique love for his disciples shines through. "This is my body that is for you, and this cup is the new covenant in my blood." The Passover meal speaks of Jesus, and it speaks of his love for his disciples, not only for them, but also for us. This evening, we have the opportunity to be touched by Jesus, by his new commandment. We can be touched by his love in two ways: by having our feet washed, and by receiving the Lord's Supper. May this help us to grasp more deeply Jesus' love, not only for the whole world, but for each one of us.
Amen.